Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and now up on TSN 2, Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Al's Brothers Power Rankings of the All-Canadian Division 2.0, Week 2, just a matter of moments, and Matt Chatham later in the hour on what we saw in the NFL yesterday. The Raptors back in action tonight, incredibly impressive two games for them over the weekend on Friday night and last night in Indiana without Lowry and without Siakam. And, you know, they're right back there in the mix. They're a half game out of a playoff spot. 2-8 start, and all that's they've crazy. Done is run off wins ever since then. And they're 5-1 in the last six games. So they're right back in it. Like we've been saying, doesn't mean they're catching the big boys. I think they're too far back. I don't think they're good enough to run off 12 wins in a row, 15 in a row, and get you back into a position where maybe you thought you should be in to start the year. But it's the Knicks. It's Atlanta, it's Charlotte, Cleveland. Like, these are not world-class giant
right.
slayers that are ahead of you. These are teams that are probably waiting to fail, you know, yeah. and are familiar with failure.
And I don't think these are earth-shattering. I mean, the comeback's great, but I don't think they're going to be doing earth-shattering things going forward, Hayes. But at least one thing, you get a sign of their character where they just didn't completely mail it in and make the season an embarrassment.
Yep. Yeah.
And then everybody's saying, what the hell's going on here? That's not right. Yeah. That's not in the picture right now.
That could have gone really south very quickly. Like, if they decided, you know what, that it's just not our year, and they just start mailing it in, like, instead they've dug in. I think coaching's a big part of that, too. I think
yep. away from Toronto, they could have gone just real ugly.
Injuries, yeah. too, right? Lowry's missed a couple right. games. Siakam last night. Siakam. Those are your two best players.
Yeah.
If you're kind of teetering anyway, and then those guys go out, that's just a basically setting you up for an explanation on why it got even worse. And instead of that happening, it got better somehow. They won last night, and they're back up against Indiana tonight. The Leafs are off today, but back in Calgary tomorrow night. We touched on it quickly just before the break, the Matthew Tkachuk, Jack Campbell stuff at the end of the game, where the head coach in Calgary said if it was any other player, we wouldn't be talking about this. And he's probably true, but that's you know, there's probably truth in that. But this is the reputation of Tkachuk,
yeah,
is that – You earn it. And
it's
I will
a good
say,
comment, but like, why else would we be talking about it? Like,
yeah,
that's Matthew Tkachuk that was on top of him.
You know what's funny, guys? When he was on our show, what was it, 2 weeks ago or whatever? When he got off, I meant to say this because, you know, there was going to – we may have even talked about it. I don't remember, but there will be a time when we talk about him, and it's probably not going to be in a great light because that's the way he plays.
That's
and his
what
brother,
he does.
His brother plays the same way, too. Like,
yep.
you know, Brady did it the other night against Winnipeg, was running around trying to start. I think he fought Nathan Beaulieu. But, like, they play an irritable style that you
and
want
Jamie,
on your team but not to play against. And, you
and
hate
both of them
against.
Are on the team when they're relied on almost solely, except for maybe a couple guys. And there's going to be a lot of nights like it where there's no energy. And guess who's got to go out there? And the best example was last year in Nashville. They were terrible. Matthew Tkachuk kept grinding and grinding. He scored the tying goal, and then he won it for him. I'm like, that guy just never quits. But that's what you have to do, and it sucks for that guy because it's like Wayne Simmons. It's like when there's no response for your team and you have to be the one to go out there and act like everybody cares and fight somebody or hit somebody, that it's basically up
yeah.
to them.
Not
well,
yet.
And the point that Noodles made is, I think, an accurate one. Tkachuk is a high-end, like, star player.
Right.
Which
sure.
makes
plug.
It,
he's not a plug.
He's not a plug, so it makes it more complicated how you deal with it. You know, like, and especially in this context. The Cassian stuff, that was directly against Cassian. Like,
right.
he laid out Cassian in a borderline dirty hit.
Oh, and you know what? At that time, Cassian was playing in your top six. So you had two
right.
top six players.
But
that were
Cassian
going at
is not, he could be on the third line. You
He's
wouldn't
a third
flinch.
Liner, if you ask
but
me.
The point being is, Cassian was like, you came at me multiple times. You've been doing it a lot. I need to take you on here. This
right.
is, if it happens tomorrow night, and again, I somewhat expect it to happen based on the Leafs, specifically the two new ones in Simmons and Bogosian, who I think realize, you know, why they're here, what they bring to the lineup. Speaking of character, being tougher to play against, I kind of expect one of them to challenge him tomorrow night or, you know, have a conversation with him. But it wasn't them that was directly involved.
Right.
And because Tkachuk is such a good player, this is where it could drag in other guys. And you brought up a guy like Milan Lucic, where I think Lucic had to step aside when it was Tkachuk-Cassian. Because I think Tkachuk probably told him, I got to do this. Like, I right. know it. I've been around the game for a long time. I got to take this on. This is a little bit different. You know, this is – he didn't hit Simmons from behind, and it's like, we got to go.
Right.
This is, I didn't like what you did to another player, so I'm going to deal with it, which could lead to Lucic or others saying, okay, well, I don't like that you went after him, so I'm going to deal with you.
Right.
And this is the three-ring circus that could be happening tomorrow night.
But that's, you know what? This is what's going to happen periodically, especially when you're battling for points head-to-head and you're going to play each other a bunch of times, you know, 9 or 10 times. You're right. But, you know, OU brought it up. Edmondson went after Tyler Myers, or he didn't even go after him. They had a conversation in warm-up. Edmondson, apparently, this is what his comments were after the game, is I asked him if he would fight me. He said he would, and they put it to bed early on, and they moved on. That wasn't Armia, because Armia's injured, but it was a teammate standing up. You're right. Mm-hmm. You might see Wayne Simmons. You might see Zach Bogosian. You might see, you know, somebody that we don't expect.
You're so right, though, Jamie. Lucic is the X factor.
I was just saying, like, that's the thing.
He talked to the media in the morning and say, anybody touches Tkachuk, who's our best player, Mitch Marner's going to get his ass beaten up tonight. And then what happens? Then you don't do anything.
You're right.
Lucic is an X factor.
I don't think he's the type of guy. Like, I think for the most part, he's a guy that would say, like, he doesn't go chasing people around.
He's not going to John Scott anybody. He's
exactly.
not doing that.
I think, but the problem is if Simmons goes after Tkachuk or Bogosian, I think Lucic will go, okay, well, he obliged you with a fight. You're going to have to oblige me for a fight. And I just don't think there's anybody on the Leafs that would be
close.
In the weight class of Milan Lucic. So
that's I think Bogosian could maybe hold his own, but I don't
absolutely.
Know how much
he's a big,
fights. He's a
guy.
big guy. That would be out of the weight class of Wayne Simmons. Like Simmons, I think he'd go him because I think that's just
balls,
how he's wired.
But
he's got stones, but it's not ideal for him.
But Lucic is, there's only, what, three guys in the league. Ryan Reeves, who else would be in that conversation?
Like Chara. You know, there's guy like monsters.
Yeah,
you're
like
right.
More
yeah.
than
mutants.
Three or four guys.
Yeah, there's okay, let's say, yeah, there's five guys in the league. We're missing a couple. Maybe Tommy Wilson if he gets, you know. Like,
yep.
But it's they're not on every team, and Calgary has that. And they also have guys like Giordano who, you know, aren't shy to, you know, I don't think anybody wants him fighting, but he's the type of guy. Like, I think it will be settled. I don't know if it was – if it has to be, I didn't think it was the worst thing in the world, and I was a goalie, believe
yep.
me, but I also knew because of the reputation, because of how it looked optically, you know, the Leafs might want to have a response.
I think it's honestly more about the Leafs and this new culture they're trying to establish. They're trying to play a little bit tougher. You know, like
right.
even a guy like Matthews has been a little bit chippier. You know,
yeah,
like he's broken a stick over a couple of guys, and Tavares has tried to get in there a little bit more with a couple of punches, and that's more where I'm coming from. It's not so much that the act itself was so egregious that it has to be rectified or dealt with. I don't
right.
see it that way either. I think it's more the Leafs maybe being like, we didn't like it, and we're going to let you know that we didn't like it. You know,
yeah.
we'll find out tomorrow. If it doesn't happen tomorrow, you play this team 7 more times the rest
right.
of the year, so there may be an opportunity there.
Yeah.
We'll get into the UFC from Saturday night as well. There's so much going on today.
That was crazy. I don't know if you guys watched that live or not. I did.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy.
Yeah. It's like McGregor, man, the fight game it's tough, man. Because those guys, anyone that steps in there is so courageous, so tough. But you can get goofed on so quickly if you get laid out. And like when he got choked out by Khabib, that was a meme instantly. When he got laid out on Saturday night, it was a meme instantly.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder where the future of McGregor's going, because, you know, when he fought Cerrone, like, that wasn't much of a fight. Like, Cowboy was kind of done. It was just, let's give him a win, get him back in the circle here. The Khabib fight was ugly for him. Saturday night was ugly for him. I don't know where his future goes.
Well, Habib chirped him on Twitter, too, saying, like, he almost had, it was almost like a Rocky vibe. Remember, was it Rocky 3 where Rocky was training in front of the cameras and everything? That's what Habib alluded to, is you fired your sparring partners, you became a hero instead of digging in and putting the work in. And it's, you know, Conor even admitted it. You've got to be active in this game.
Especially in the fight game. You can't be a celebrity first. Like, you'll get knocked out. These guys are too good. They're too tough. It's too vicious, man. It's real in there. Like, there's bombs being thrown.
I was shocked because I started yelling. I'm like, he's out. He's out. Like, because when he started landing bombs, I was like, uh-oh, this is not going well.
This is going south quickly. And he dropped and he was done. And now he wants to go back at Poirier, which is amazing how the tables have changed. Before the fight, it was like, I got to get over this so I can get at Habib. And now he's begging for a rematch with Poirier, which I'm not sure that's exactly what Dana White had in mind. But he's got to deal with it because Habib's not fighting McGregor now. There's no way. He probably didn't care to fight him anyway. And now he's like, why would I fight you? You just got smoked.
He's got to go back at Poirier and beat him. Or Diaz or something. Exactly, yeah.
Okay, Al's brother is waiting patiently. My understanding is there's no sponsorship deal that we're aware of yet that will be going public with this, but it could be there down the road. Al's brother, welcome into the fold. You went 1-1 over the weekend. I guess we both went 0-1 technically. You like the Bills +3. That went south quickly. I like the Packers -3.5. We all know how that played out. As it currently stands, you guys are up +300 going into the Super Bowl, which must make you feel pretty good about your picks so far.
Yeah, I think we're feeling pretty good. The Bills, they just couldn't get it done. I mean, defensively, they weren't stopping anything. Kelce and Hill just ran all over them. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't affect the pressure. It was just a tough L for the Bills last night.
Yep, but that's, again, you guys won the first game. Like, you guys are basically free-rolling, you know, come kickoff of the Kansas City game.
Super Bowl is worth 500.
Well, we got 10 shows to figure that out. I'll give you my answer next week about where I stand on things.
Okay.
All right.
So, okay,
Al's brother, you ready to do this? I mean, last week
last week you drove coast to coast. Yeah, you drove Noodles crazy last week.
No, I didn't. He didn't drive me crazy. We clearly saw his Vancouver favoritism. That's the problem. It wasn't a non-biased list. It was a clear biased list. That's what bothered me.
And you're a man of objective integrity.
I try to be. So let's see what he's got this week.
All right. So here at number 7, I do have the Vancouver Canucks here in this 7 hole.
Wow.
I didn't think you were going to go there. I think you got pressured into that because I would have held strong at 6.
Look, this team, they're 2-5 to start the year. They've been awful. They've allowed 5 goals in 5 straight games. Their back end is super thin, and they're injury riddled as well back there too. Yeah. Pettersson's got off to a really slow start, and they just haven't gelled yet. There's some turnover there. They lost some guys, and it bites when you see that they let Tyler Toffoli go and he goes off. Just kills them in this series against the Canadiens as well. I think Vancouver are a better team than, you know, Ottawa, but to this point, they just haven't been better on ice.
Wow. What do you say for yourself, Noodles? I think you bullied Al's brother into that.
I didn't bully him. I thought he succumbed to people on Twitter chirping, saying, where's Al's brother's Canucks now? And that I would have.
This is proof that he's serious about this and he's not holding any favoritism.
Well, I like that. He's a man of integrity. I like that. Good for you, Al's brother.
So you got Vancouver at 7. The power rankings of the All Canadian Division continues with Al's brother on the clock at 6.
And at 6, this is where the Ottawa Senators will come in. You know, they've been decent, and they gave Winnipeg a good go. I thought, actually, the first game, they could have won that. Winnipeg scored late and then won in overtime. And then the other night, they were up, 3-1, I think, in the third, and then it just kind of fell apart for them. So they gave up a couple of points in that series against Winnipeg. I think they played pretty well in most of these games as well. So I have Ottawa, scrappy, young team, here in the number 6 hole.
Good call.
I like that. It's one or the other. It was Vancouver, Ottawa, 6 or 7. I think this is where it starts to get.
Here's where he makes his money, man.
This is the challenge.
Here's where he makes his money. Any of these teams are almost interchangeable, except one in some eyes. Who do you have next, Al's brother?
We've got the Edmonton Oilers coming in at number five here. They picked up a couple of wins, I guess, this week. But, I mean, last night's was a very last-minute win against Winnipeg. And, you know, like we talked about earlier, they're playing against a team that had played, what, five games in seven nights. So, and the fact that they took them down to the brink was one thing. I just think that they still have some work to do on that back end. I think that the goaltending right now is still an issue. So Edmonton, it's not so much that they've played worse. I think they've actually they played better this week than they did the first week. But I just have the other four teams slotted ahead of them.
I can't disagree with that. I mean, I would have Edmonton at five based on the what we've seen so far through a week and a half. I think Edmonton is at five with potential to move up. I don't think they're necessarily going to move down, but I like that pick. Okay, you got Edmonton
at five.
Solid
list so far.
Very solid. Very, very solid. Who do you have at four?
I got the Winnipeg Jets coming in at number four. I think that this is a team that can certainly move up in the rankings as well. They made a big move to go out and get Pierre-Luc Dubois to kind of solidify that top six. And the way that Paul Maurice sounded in that interview, which is fantastic, by the way.
You loved that, didn't you?
I did. I loved it. I love listening to him talk hockey. It's fantastic. And it's got me excited for what they can do going forward. Like, I think that really Winnipeg now certainly will rival these next three teams. And instead of it being a three-horse race at the top of the standings, I think those are the core four, I think. I know it's still early, but to me, these four teams stand out above the rest. And Winnipeg, I think, is going to be a solid team going forward.
Yeah,
I think
I like
it's a five-team race, personally.
You think Edmonton's in there, too?
You can't sleep on them.
No, you can't either. I mean, they're off to a pretty good start, like standings-wise.
They're right there with these other teams. But, I mean, Calgary hasn't played enough games. We've seen what, you know, Montreal and Toronto play. They're the two steadiest teams so far.
Yeah.
But we'll see what Calgary – Calgary just hasn't played enough. Like, that's, you know,
kind of goofy schedule.
Yeah, five days off.
You're going to get that with uneven numbers.
That was weird, man. They were just sitting around. I don't know.
Well, it's strange. Yeah. You have Calgary who gets five nights off, yet Winnipeg has to play five and seven nights.
But you know it's going to catch
it's
up to
even
Calgary,
out.
Right?
Yeah. So. Do you have Calgary at number three then, Ross, brother?
Yeah, I got them at number three. And really, it's kind of a coin flip between Calgary and the number two spot. But like you said, still too early, just six games so far on the year. You know, they lost to Toronto last night, too, which may, I guess, hinder it a little bit. But I felt that they played pretty good so far. And again, Markstrom is an elite player for this team.
It's off such to a great start.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah, he's a good goalie.
He's an early Vezina candidate for Markstrom for me. So they're coming in right now at the number three spot.
Okay, so far, just to recap, Vancouver at seven, Ottawa at six, Edmonton at five, Winnipeg four, Calgary three, Al's Brothers power rankings of the All-Canadian Division. And this is where we get into a spicy, spicy meatball because you are not a Toronto kid, you're a Niagara guy, but you're from Ontario, and the Maple Leafs are 5-2, the Habs are 4-0-2, one of those two losses in extra time would be against the Maple Leafs on opening night. I think the whole world, specifically the eastern part of the country, is waiting for this big reveal. Who do you have at number two?
The Toronto Maple Leafs, which means the Montreal Canadiens.
Wow.
The Canadiens are the top spot in my Canadian power rankings coming into this week. I mean, look, I think they're the best team. They stomped the Canucks all weekend long. They're deep. They're balanced. They're getting the goaltending. And they're 4-0-2 on the year, but they have played all six of their games on the road. And I don't think that could be misunderstood here. All six of their games have been on the road, and they picked up points in each and every one of them. Even that game against the Leafs in night one, I thought that Montreal outplayed Toronto. Toronto got the full 2 points, but Montreal, I believe, was the better team. And again, the Leafs, they've been good. I think they've also had a lot of adversity that they've had to overcome. There's been injuries. They've had to filter guys in and out of the lineup. Matthews isn't 100% right now. And now apparently Jack Campbell, there's an issue there. They're evaluating him for an injury.
I just saw that.
Yeah. So, but to me, I think the Leafs number two, and I think Montreal has moved into the top spot here in the Canadian division.
Wow. Well, there it is. Oh, this was your brainchild. I mean, how do you feel about week two of the power rankings?
I give him a lot of credit because I thought he was just going to be a homer and say every week the Leafs are number one and Vancouver's number two. But he's not like you, Hayes. He wasn't 35 under at the No Balls Open. The Canucks at seven and Montreal at one. Toronto radio station on television. I like the Stones from Al's brother.
Yep.
That's why he has dictated this time as his time.
I can't disagree with that.
A lot of integrity there. I will say a lot of integrity. I thought Vancouver at seven is rich. Yeah, I thought Vancouver at seven was rich, but you were just trying to hammer home a point as a disgruntled fan. That's where you think they are. That's how pissed you are at that group. Now, they got three games in a row against Ottawa, so we'll see if their fortunes can change. But, you know, I thought you were just hammering home a point as a disgruntled Canucks fan. I had them at six.
That could be the case, but I do believe, like, I look at what Ottawa's done, and they've kept games close, and they've looked pretty good, actually, through the first few games, whereas, I mean, Vancouver's just been blown out. Now, they've had a tougher schedule, obviously, playing Montreal three games, but they've really, really, I think the biggest issue here is the fact that they haven't gotten Pettersson going. If Pettersson can get going, I think this team will be better going forward.
Yeah, I think Hughes has to be included in that as well. I mean, I don't think he doesn't look nearly as dominant as he did a year ago.
It's crazy. You know what? I'm calling that game tonight. So I was just going over my notes. Like, Jack Hughes has six assists already, but he's minus seven. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, you know, he's usually a guy who's on for a lot of positive things, and I still think he needs to clean up his own zone. But that's what concerns me about Vancouver and what Markstrom covered up last year so much, is their defensive zone is a mess. Like, that's that when you had a goaltender that stood on your head and it was your MVP for 2 years in a row, that's what Markstrom was for Vancouver. And you know, Holtby and Demko, like, they haven't
That Tanev was a big player back
then. He's a very good player.
He played with Quinn Hughes. It was like a good partnership. It's like, and they decided to move away from that, which you can't make everybody happy. But when you think on a team that needs those guys back there, there was this priority one and two, and both neither of them.
And that's what everyone's talking about, right? Like, the elephant in the room is Pettersson isn't playing well enough at all. Hughes hasn't been great. But also the guys who left.
Yes. You know,
Markstrom, Tanev. And the fact is, Louis Erickson's still getting paid $6 million.
Taxi squad.
Exactly. Not even playing. But that's what'll kill you. You know, you can't keep guys you want to keep. Toffoli just rolled through town and burned them up. They wanted to keep him. And he just said, I got a better deal down the road. See you later. So Vancouver's reeling right now. And I would still have them at six, because it's not like Ottawa has been – lights out. I mean, they've been okay. And I think we give them a little bit too much credit for, you know, keeping a game close. It's like, oh, good for them. They deserve points. Where I don't think that applies to any other team in the division. But, yeah, I can't really argue with the list beyond that. Montreal has been very impressive. Very impressive. I can't argue that they should be number one. I think what could have tilted that was that the Leafs got them opening night. But that's probably being a little bit too specific when we're talking about 2 weeks' worth of games. But it could change. It's going to change the power rankings every Monday. Right. Al's brother on the clock. Good stuff, Al's brother.
Thank you.
There he is, and we'll get your Super Bowl pick. Well, we'll flip a coin in about, 8 or 9 days, and we'll see who's on the clock for the Super Bowl. Last time I checked, I think Kansas City's an early favorite, as they should be, I think.
3 points, I think I saw.
Yeah, line will move around, I would guess, but there you have it. Al's brother, power rankings. Matt Very Chatham good. Will join us. More on the NFL. Our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine a little bit later in the hour. Only one game in the NHL tonight. And
10 o'clocker.
Yeah, it's a weird sked. Like, how you only have one game.
I thought that was weird. I don't know if you guys saw Paul Maurice say that. They played at 9 o'clock Winnipeg time the other night, and then the next night at like 8 o'clock. It was like, that's weird.
It's all about what's going on out there in the TV world. That's why I was surprised the Leafs played at 4 o'clock when the football games were on. Didn't make a lot of sense to me, but two games yesterday, and Brady's back in the Super Bowl. He's going there for a 10th time, and we have a guy in the line who went there a few times with him back in the early 2000s. Here's a longtime NFLer, Super Bowl champ with New England, and analyst down in New England. Here is Matt Chatham. How you doing, Matt?
Doing wonderful. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. So your reaction watching Brady yesterday as a former teammate and as a guy who, you know, went to Super Bowls with him, seeing him do it in Tampa, 43 years old, how do you react to a scene like that?
So one of the thoughts that kind of floated was my last season in the NFL was the year that Favre was down with New York. And so I just caught a quick glimpse of him sort of at the tail end of his career. And I think one of the things that generally happens with most sort of mortal quarterbacks, even the absolute great ones, is, you know, you're creaky, you're sore. You know, you tend to suffer sort of the pains of a season a little more than everyone else in the room because you're a decade older than most of them. And, you know, you get the occasional super cold game out there, and, yeah, the 40-year-old guy is going to feel it more. I was just amazed how sharp Tom came out in the first quarter. And I think people often explain, you know, how someone might perform in weather relative to where they went to college or where they grew up or even what other teams they played for. But it's pretty wild, you know, practicing in the 70s for 4 months, you know, and then dropping into the 20s, it's going to shock your system regardless of what you've been doing. That's what you're acclimated to at the moment. So beyond just the fact that he's steady, still continuing to look like the same old guy, he threw three or four just really exceptional first half throws, and they hadn't practiced this stuff in these conditions. So I just thought the way he came out that sharp, ready to roll, without having sort of the background work with those guys to do it, was just phenomenal, like just about everything else you see there.
You know his personality. How do you think the process went this year with Tom Brady? We were discussing the early parts of the season. It was kind of up and down. Their offense wasn't firing on all cylinders. Do you think he took control of the situation and told Bruce Arians and the players, look, you got to start listening to me here. I know what the hell's going on, and I ultimately know how to win? Or do you think it was the team just themselves that figured it out?
It's a weird dynamic because of the timing, because of not really having an off season, right? You know, they just pop in to basically training camp. So that time of sort of getting to know you, having a bad week of work or having a few bad weeks or maybe having a few bad preseason games or whatever it is where you get challenged and have to rise up and figure out who's going to have what say, everyone really in the NFL bypassed that step this year. And it hurts guys like Tom more. Of course, he's got all that experience, but he was coming into an entirely new offense. So I certainly think that it looked, at least from the outside, a lot of September, October was filtering, getting the stuff out that ain't going to work. You know, and Bruce Arians clearly has a philosophy that's a little different than Tom had been in before. But Tom's malleable. I mean, he came in and basically he can run any system. I think he kind of really obliterated that idea that he was an air quote system quarterback, especially knowing that, you know, he had like six coordinators in his time in New England. They all ran different stuff too. But I just think they did get to the point, especially when they were sitting in whatever it was, 7-5, I think they're somewhere in November, and they had to run it on the way out, the four wins down the stretch. The offense really picked up steam then. I think at that moment you can tell Tom's in full control. And in fairness to him, being 43, being the GOAT and all that kind of stuff, doesn't help you a ton when you have to learn a whole new gig. So it's not as if, you know, he's doing what he's always done. He probably needed as much as anyone in the September and October. And so, you know, the fact that they were hotter later shouldn't be a huge surprise.
With Matt Chatham, longtime NFLer, Super Bowl winner in New England. Brady's look on the sidelines, it doesn't change a lot. I mean, he can get fired up, he can yell and scream, but he throws a pick, he generally goes to the bench, takes his helmet off, sits there and waits for the ball again. And, you know, he believes in his demeanor, he believes in his game plan, he believes in the process, and it's worked for him for a long, long time. He's got Mahomes in a couple of Sundays. Do you think Brady will change it all in the moment, you know, in the Super Bowl because he's going up against a guy like Mahomes? In other words, if Mahomes is just firing on all cylinders, will Brady change his game plan? Will he change his demeanor? How do you see it playing out based on who he's going up against in a couple of weeks?
I think the best test for that, he's seasoned in that regard. I mean, I think you can take him to when he was an absolute young buck like we all were back in 2001, and you're facing the greatest show on turf. So there's, from your side of the table as an offense, yeah, you could feel some pressure to, holy crap, we got to keep up. You know, this is a team that might put 40 up. How do we keep pace? But some of the later tests here have been comparable. I mean, I know that the feeling isn't nearly as strong for Matt Ryan, but he was an MVP candidate the year that Atlanta was flying through that thing, led the league in scoring or right around the top there. And, I mean, it was an absolute shootout in that particular contest. You go to the year where they beat the Rams, it ends up being a 13-3 game. And no, Goff, I don't think, was held in regard as necessarily Mahomes is individually, but collectively, that offense was ridiculous. So I think he's certainly been in this situation before where he's coming in with an awful good offense, but that's paired against the great one of that particular season. So back to sort of the way you framed it, though, relative to his demeanor, I think there's not panic. And I think having gone through those trials of the tight 20-17 game in 2001, back to, you know, having to come back from all those points down against Atlanta and knowing that it's not just our scores that have to happen, they have to hold them so that they don't get further from us. I think he's been through this before. So as amazing as Mahomes is as an individual player, I don't think these are circumstances that are going to make him react differently. He is who he is. He's been through everything the NFL could possibly show a person, many, many times over.
If you're the Buffalo Bills and you've just done something you have not done in 25 years, you won not only one playoff game, you won multiple playoff games. You had a great year. You won the AFC East for the first time in ever, in forever. I mean, there's a lot of positivity that they should be feeling right now. They should feel good about their program. But they have to be looking at the other teams in the AFC and specifically the team they lost to yesterday and realize, you know, something's got to get a little bit better. You know, they've got to grow. How do you see them playing out their offseason in Buffalo to achieve that next year?
So the Chiefs are kind of today's Patriots. I mean, they're an infancy stage version, but they are someone who did it last year and they're back at the top, maybe going to get another one here. So one of, I think, the lessons that we learned is sort of being the front dog for all those years. And then also those years I was in New York when I was trying to game plan and trying to figure out a way to beat them is if you spend your off seasons trying to build your roster and consumed with game plan ideas for one team, you'll never get to that point. You really have to just be well-rounded, both facets, all sides of the ball, all three. And I think the one deficiency we did see with Buffalo late that reared its ugly head a little bit here in the tournament was running game. Now, granted, there were pockets during the season against one of the Patriots games where they ran the ball quite well. I mean, Zach Moss is an interesting young guy. I think Devin Singletary still has a lot of upside as well, but I don't know the particulars of their offensive line, who's back and who's coming and who was injured and things like that. But for whatever reason, down the stretch, it wasn't quite the Steelers, but it was close. You know, sort of a part of the game they completely abandoned. And I don't think you can get to that stage against Kansas City and not clock control a little bit. But, you know, T.J. Yeldon was subbing in and out. T.J.'s a nice veteran player, but it was sort of, you know, we're just mixing and matching here and trying to get through a game, and they kind of gave up on the running game. So I tend to think if you ever want to beat that kind of team, you got to have a little of that. You know, you can't just be an 80-20 kind of team. You got to be closer to a 60-40. And I think that's generally what we were all through those years, and I think the best performances that come against Kansas City tend to have not perfect balance, but you just can't be too much of one than the other.
Great stuff, Matt. It's going to be a fun one in a couple of weeks. Enjoy that. We'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Take care.
There he is, Matt Chatham, three-time Super Bowl winner with New England back in the early 2000s with Tom Brady, and he's still watching him do it. That's got to be just an out-of-body experience where you're watching a buddy of yours, a teammate, and you went through the ringer with him 20 years ago, and he's still doing it. Like he's going back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think about that with Jumbo. I played in one All-Star game, and Joe Thornton was in it. I retired like 14 years ago. This guy's still playing.
It's outrageous.
Yeah. Crazy. I have pictures of that All-Star game sitting on the bench, and I'm sitting beside Joe Thornton, and he's still in the league. It's crazy, man.
The world has changed. The league has changed so much, and I can't imagine. Like, you know, our group of friends, like, Aginla was the last of them to go, and so he should. He was a Hall of Famer, but he retired at like 40. All of us retired, you know, 5 and 6 years earlier than him, and still watching him play. It's really weird. It's surreal. And then I can't even imagine 20 years later, yeah, and you're watching.
Well, Brady's had teammates, like best buddies that were kind of his age that retired along 10 years ago.
10 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, in the NFL, you get to 30.
You're done. Thank you very much. And they're like, probably his roommate or something's like, this guy's still playing, going to another Super Bowl.
Imagine going to
college.
But it's
like LeBron. Yeah.
Like, if you were in college and you were a really good player, you're like, that was in 1997.
Yeah, I got a 23-year-old kid running around your house, and this guy's going back to a Super Bowl.
With Giselle waiting for him in Tampa.
But it's like LeBron, man. It's like rite of passage. This guy's going to the Super Bowl. That's what I do every year. It's pretty awesome.
It's
man.
Pretty incredible.
And yeah. Hayes, we talked about compelling matchups. I'm sorry. This has to be the matchup with like the NFL.
For the NFL, it is. If you're
Rick
CBS,
Rick Goodell has got to love this matchup.
It's, dude, Mahomes versus Brady in a Super Bowl. Because what it's going to allow us to do is link these two generations. Even with everything we just said, Brady is going to retire in the next 2 or 3 years. I would assume he's going to retire or seriously deteriorate. I can't believe he's done what he's done this year. I cannot believe it. And he will be back next year, and no one is debating whether he should be. He was a top five quarterback in the game this year, and he's back in a Super Bowl. Of course he's coming back next year at 44. And I guess we have to expect he may double down on that. But in the next few years, he's going to walk away. And Mahomes will still be here for like 12 years.
Yes.
Right. And it's almost as if it's like Nicholas was playing in 97 at the Masters. It's still in his prime. You know what I mean? Like, or at the end of it. You're like, he's still got some game. It like links Nicholas with Tiger. And this is linking Brady with Mahomes. And we're going to have it. Like, we're going to have game tape of these two playing in the Super Bowl against each other. In 15 years, when Mahomes retires, you can say, remember when he took on Brady? And Brady will be 59 at that point. Like, Brady will probably be at his last game. Like, hey, congrats, Pat. He'll be in his 60s. Meanwhile, they played against each other in the Super Bowl.
And he will still look good.
He'll look spectacular.
Like that guy ages well, I think.
Jesus.
You know? Listen, he's committed. You got to give him credit. Like, there are guys like Char that still does it. LeBron still does it. Brady. These guys don't eat anything that's garbage. They work out.
In our internal text, I witnessed something that, one of our buddies isn't aging that well. And...
There was some evidence over the weekend of a friend of the show that I'm concerned about.
There was multiple.
Two friends of the show.
Two,
if you want
to
go out west. If you want to go out west.
Yep. There's one west and one south where there was some damning evidence.
Yeah. There was a grappler sand wedge from about 60 yards out taken off the top of the head, essentially. So, we're concerned about them. We're very concerned because we're good guys and they're our buddies. And we wanted to make sure that everything's on the up and up. Yeah. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Tee up the Raptor game tonight. Siakam is out. Lowry is back. Lowry will start tonight. He and Van Vliet in the backcourt. We'll tee that up, that game in Indiana. Only one game in the NHL. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NBA board tonight, I like Philly big in Detroit. Detroit is, they're not a very good team. They're really not a very good team. Philly's a pretty good team. Laying a decent number, but I will lay it. I'll take Philly. I think Miami can cover in Brooklyn tonight. And I think LeBron and the Lakers back in Cleveland lay a beating on the Cavaliers tonight. Throwing out 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine is the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. So Raptors, Indiana tonight. Lowry is back, and he's back in the starting lineup. Siakam will not play tonight. But, big win in Indiana last night. So they doubled down. They go back at it tonight, and it's going to be a fun game. We got that. We've only got one NHL game, but it happens to feature two Canadian teams. You're calling it, I believe, tonight.
Yeah,
Ottawa and Vancouver.
Gord. Yep, so that'll be interesting. See, I think Vancouver can get back into the winning ways. Like, it takes a little bit for guys to settle in. You forget that, Nate Schmidt and, Braden Holtby, they've got some new players there. I like that Hoglander kid. I think he's got a chance to be a really good player. Like, they've, it's just, I coming into the season, I thought they'd lost too much from last year, and it was tough to turn that around, but we'll see. Again, it's
it goes from getting to turn it around in a shortened season. Like, if we're talking about this 2 weeks from now, we're talking about this season is in danger already because of the short. It's 56 games, man.
No, you're right. But, I mean, they've played the most amount. Tonight will be their eighth game.
Exactly.
Like but if they win tonight, that's their third win. You know what I mean? Like, they start, and they've got three in a row against Ottawa. Not But you have to win two out of three, for sure.
You've got to at home, especially with the way you started. You've got to get 4 points. You know, even if they're in overtime shootouts, it doesn't matter. You need 4 points to get your season back around. And this could be a turning point. Like, if Ottawa goes in there and takes two of three, they sweep them, it's done. I mean, it's over. By the end of the week, we're like, Vancouver's a lost cause, not their year. I don't see how you battle back and get into the top four with the teams that are ahead of you. But yeah, this can be a turning point both ways, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is game 4 of 6 in their home stand. So 4, 5, and 6 are against Ottawa here. So we'll see how it unfolds for them.
Yep, for sure. So that's going on tonight. The Raptors are in action tonight. It was, you know, a tough few days for legends of the sports world, the entertainment industry. Of course, we talked about Hank Aaron on Friday, and 86 years old, lived a great life, just an iconic life in terms of who he was and what he went through and how much he achieved. And then Larry King, our boy Larry King, passing away over the weekend. And he was 86, just a fascinating life. And George Armstrong yesterday at the age of 90. And listen, you live that long and that rich of a life. It's not a tragedy. It's a celebration of accomplishments. And all three men were celebrities in their own right and lived different lives, but made impacts wherever they went. And it was a tough 3 days. And tomorrow marks the 1 year anniversary of Kobe passing away, which of course was a tragedy.
Yeah, that was.
It's been a year. It's been a year.
I don't know if you guys remember exactly where you were. I was on a plane. I was flying, I believe, back to Toronto from calling a game, and my buddy texted me and was like, Kobe, ? And I was right away, I was like, oh, my God.
I saw it on Twitter, and I just remember someone saying, God, no, don't be Kobe. Because then I turned on CNN, and then there was another report, and it's like, man, this is – it's just one of those things where you just – and I don't know. You can't believe it. You just can't believe that guy and his family and his daughter it's unreal.
Yeah.
Well, that was the thing about the report was it originally came out Kobe's passed away, and then it was Kobe was in a helicopter, and it was like, okay, they usually do actually get these right. You hold out hope that they don't, but generally they get it right. But then as the day went on, you're like, there were more people in the helicopter.
Remember, it was Ricky Fox. Everyone was like, Ricky Fox was in there.
Rick Fox was in there. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and he's like, no, I'm alive. And that was like, it was crazy.
It was really, really, it was just an awful day. And it just kept coming out. And then the video came out. And then you could see the smoke in the mountain. You're like, that's it right there.
Yeah.
And none of them survived. And it was like, it's crazy that it's been a year. It's been a year. And today, I believe, marked the first day of COVID being found in the country as well.
Right.
And what was amazing about a year ago was my niece was born a year ago tomorrow at Sunnybrook. So I'll never forget that day. Like, it was such a crazy range of emotions because it started with Kobe dying. And then so you're dealing with that. I'm dealing with that. Not as if this, you know, I'm trying to look for empathy or sympathy here. But that was obviously a shock to the system. And then, you know, COVID wasn't what it is now, not even close. But you're like, oh, that's interesting. And I believe the first person to test positive was at Sunnybrook.
It was.
Then I get the news. She's here. We're at Sunnybrook. And I went to Sunnybrook that night. And I'm like, this is wild. Like, there's COVID here in the hospital.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's life. And, again, you play the old, can you imagine we'd still be here a year later? We are. And, you know, still dealing with it. It's crazy.
It is weird because it was – what's the actual – is it March 11th was the last NHL game? Rudy Gobert was March 10th. March 11th was the last NHL game. I was still in L.A. Remember, I'd called that game in L.A. and flew back. And it was just such a, you know, a range of emotions.
That's going to be a weird anniversary as well. Yeah, I mean, we're getting close to a full year of us being at home, you know.
Yeah.
And we're not alone. The whole world basically went home in the beginning of March, middle of March. Now, some people went back. So obviously, the frontline workers never left, and they continued to battle and essential services and stuff. But a lot of people, like just neighbors of mine, we're talking about it yesterday, my wife and I, like a bunch of our neighbors just been working from home.
See them all the time, just, you know, walking around during the day, walking the dogs.
Is your neighbor still getting into it? Is your eggnog buddy?
He's still having a good time. Yeah, I saw my buddy out yesterday. He was having a couple of beers and just sending out a vibe.
That guy must
that he's getting that through guy. Things. Just, he's a beautician. He's a great guy.
Just so, enjoying life.
Hey, you got it, man. What else are you going to do? You know, there's not much you can do right now. You just got to grind through. So, Leafs back in action tomorrow night. And the Raptors in action tonight. So we'll have a game to look back on. We'll have a game to tee up. And it was a wild Monday, man. The sports world gave us a lot to chew on after that weekend. And I'm sure a lot of it will pour over into tomorrow and over the next couple of weeks leading up to the Super Bowl. Can't wait for that. We are out of here. Enjoy the games tonight. Enjoy your evenings. We are back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.